Welcome to Women to the Wise. I am Stephanie and
I'm Allison.
We have a special guest joining us today, and it is my dear friend and neighbor, Jessica Allen. She has been married for 18 years and has four energetic, kind, busy kiddos at home. She is the author of Joy Comes in the Morning, and she manages her Facebook page, Heartfully Present. Today, Jessica will be sharing her thoughts on loss, grief, marriage, family, faith, and intentional living. Welcome, Jessica. Thank you for being here today. Please tell us how all of this loss kind of started and came about in your life.
Well, I am a music educator by trade, and I am a planner. I love a lot of structure. My husband and I got married when I was really young. I was 21, and I had the perfect job. We had the perfect little marriage, perfect little house, perfect little community, and everything's going super according to plan. But what nobody tells you about building a family is that it is not all white picket fences and unicorns and rainbows sometimes. And we experienced a lot of loss actually early in our marriage. We had several miscarriages and that was not part of my plan. It was not on my post-it. It was not on my dream board. And none of that was what I had intended. And it just really knocked the wind out of my sails. Mm. And so when I found out that we were expecting our son, I had started a new business. I was still teaching, but I was also working that business, and so decided to retire my teaching career at the ripe old age of 26 and start preparing for the birth of our son. Mm-hmm. Well, what we did not expect is that he would be born 14 weeks early and live for just 17 days before he passed away. Mm. And as you can imagine, it just shattered everything I thought I knew about everything, about God, about faith, love, marriage, success, the future, planning, purpose, everything. It just totally blew apart any understanding I had of what is the point. What are we supposed to be doing here? Mm-hmm. And our son was a miracle. I would be remiss if I didn't mention him. We named him LJ for Little Jack. His full name was John McDowell Allen IV, but after his daddy, but he weighed only 1 pound. And so his name was longer than he was. Mm. So we called him LJ for short. And his life was a miracle, just a miracle. Absolutely. And we'll get into this a little bit more as we continue our conversation. But his life was such a gift. Mm-hmm. And it never occurred to me that we wouldn't bring him home. Sure. So when he died, something in me just broke. Mm. You were put in these places that we never imagined we'll be in, and that was one of them for me, a place that I never imagined that I would be in. And so that's where this all began. That's where this loss all began. This was almost 14 years ago, this October. Mm-hmm. And there is not a day in my life that goes by where he is not in the conversation in our home, where he is not a thought in my mind and a tug on my heartstrings. He is still so very real in my life, and that is a gift.
Yeah, and thank you for coming and sharing your story of loss and grief, because we know that can be difficult to talk about, but we find that it's going to be an important topic for anybody who listens, not even just women, just anybody. But as mothers, because Stephanie and I are both mothers too, even when my son falls and hurts himself, my heart just stops. Mm-hmm. So how did you find the strength to continue and move forward during such a tragic loss?
I think when we're in it, I don't remember much cognitive intentional thought when I was right in the thick of it. Mm-hmm. I remember it being a very conscious choice. I can keep going or not. Mm. And that is a very real place that people find themselves
chills.
In.
It's true. Yeah.
It's a choice. And there were, in the darkest depths of that grief, you do start to ask yourself the question, what's the point? Why am I here? I have waited my whole life. I have dreamed my whole life to be a mother. Who would want to be married to me anymore? Mm. Who would want to who's going to be my friend anymore? Who wants to talk to this depressed lady anymore? Mm. What do I even do now? What do I do? And so for me, it truly was just a conscious decision. I am not giving up today.
Mm.
Like, there was a little bit somewhere in there, a little bit of that stubborn pride. I'm not giving up today.
Mm.
Maybe tomorrow, but I am not giving up today. And it is truly a day by day, sometimes hour by hour, moment by moment endeavor to simply just take the next breath. Hold on for the next
to
minute.
To just live.
To be, yeah. Yes. To breathe air in your lungs and believe that while this moment feels suffocating, maybe the next one will be better.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the next one after that will be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to ask, how did your faith play a role in this?
You know, I have such a strong faith upbringing.
I
was raised with a real strong faith upbringing. My husband, not so much.
Yeah.
And, I shouldn't say that. He was raised in the faith. He got real confused when our son died.
Yeah.
And so, as I think a lot of people do.
I mean,
rightfully so.
You're rightfully so. I feel like I would too. I mean, you sit there, this little baby who's your miracle, and now he's gone. You kind of, a lot of people get to the mindset, and I could see myself, of mm-hmm. how could God let this happen?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, we prayed all the right prayers. We did right. all the right
Why
things.
Why us? We're such good, faithful Christians and servants. How could this happen?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think what I have experienced in the 14 years that I've spent in the grief community is that people typically fall into one of two camps. People will either cut ties and run as far away mm. as fast as they can
yeah.
from God. Like, that's it. I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah.
I believed in you. I did all the right things and you did not deliver for me.
Yeah.
Or people fall into the camp where they think, like I did, which is where I ultimately fell, the only thing that would be even worse to me than losing my son would be to lose my faith.
Mm.
And I hate you right now,
yeah.
God. I am so angry with you. I don't understand. None of this tracks with anything I ever thought I knew about you.
Right.
But he knows loss. He also lost a son.
Mm.
And so
God,
I made...
God, we got the tissue.
I know.
You know,
so right.
I think,
yeah.
you know, he knows loss and he lost his son too. And so I ultimately made the decision, like I made the decision to just keep going one more moment at a time.
Yeah.
I made the decision to hold on to my faith.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that was not pretty. And it was more like, you know what? I will tolerate you. I don't like you right now. I don't even know what to say to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to receive... I asked for the deepest, most desperate prayer of my life, and that was not answered the way that I hoped and prayed that it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want anything from you. I'm going to need you to stay right over there.
Yeah.
You just leave me alone. And the beautiful thing about faith in the dark is that he will never walk away.
Mm-hmm.
He will be right there waiting whenever you are ready to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And time and time and time and time again, as I have wrestled with this and worked out my faith, which is what we're called to do.
Yes.
Right.
You know, like, and this is where we learn and this is where we strengthen our faith is in the tough stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't get stronger when things are good. We get
right.
stronger when things are hard.
When they're challenged, yeah.
And so as I work this out over and over daily, day in and day out, there is nothing that I can do that will surprise him or make him ashamed
mm-hmm.
of me. And so I can throw at him whatever I've got, whether it's praise or anger or rage or frustration or insults or curse words or whatever it is. You know, I know that that's not, you know,
right.
You wouldn't teach
Sorry,
that in
God.
Sunday school. You know, I know we don't teach that to our cheros at Sunday school, but this is faith for real people
right.
living in the real world.
Forgiveness. So,
mm-hmm. right.
yes.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, because you said, although your husband was a faithful person, that it really challenged him too, but you chose God and tried to do that. What was the dynamic like between the two of you when he was still angry, but you were choosing to, you know, strengthen your relationship with God?
You know, he, I wouldn't say that he was angry. What he interpreted he interpreted our son's death as a punishment. He thought he was being punished. And so he just had so much guilt there. And I think I would say this if you were sitting right here. He had so much trouble tapping into that to even get to, what do I think? How do I feel? Why does this hurt? That he just kind of ran from it. He ran from that work.
Right.
And in fact, we went to one grief support group together. This is one of my favorite stories to tell. And we were sitting in a circle of people.
Yeah.
And he was so uncomfortable. He was so uncomfortable in that one grief session that we went to that he just kind of slowly kept inching his chair back. And I kid you not, by the end of the session, his chair was a full chair length at least behind the rest of the group. He had physically removed himself because he was so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so he had a hard time even tapping into his own stuff. And he was not at a place where he could hold space for me.
Hmm.
And this is what we see a lot with grieving couples.
Sure.
Is that... In grieving human beings, we all process this differently, but men and women process things differently. And as a couple, it's not, you know, grief is not a linear process and it is not on a timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no rule book and we are not taught how to talk about this stuff. No one teaches us how to navigate this well. And so we're all just bumbling through it, trying not to make things worse
right.
for ourselves and each other, you know, in the process. And so he just poured himself into what he could do to fix things. He poured himself into work. It is exhausting. And I realized very early on that he was not going to be able to hold space for me. So it was just lonely. It was lonely.
Yeah. And I think that's so interesting when it comes to grief. And you mentioned, you know, you guys as a couple, but also I kind of draw from my own experience of losing my father. And there was a few things that I learned from it is kind of what you just said with my mom. Even though she was there for us, I don't think she could take on a ton of grief for us as we as kids couldn't do it for her.
Yes.
And I think both of us felt slighted. Mm-hmm. She's never said that, but I kind of feel that way. And I know I did. And now looking back, I wish I could have changed my reactions toward her because she just lost her partner 40 years. Mm-hmm. But then I was being selfish. But at the same time, I wasn't. I was just dealing with my own grief. Because there's no book. I mean, there are books, actually. There's one right here.
We're going to talk about that in a minute.
We will. But at the same time, like, it's such a personal experience. Mm-hmm. And when you're young, when it happens. So 26 is young.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 25 when I lost my dad. And it's just like, you don't know. Because it really only happens, hopefully, God willing, like, once, you know, you lose a parent or, you know, your dad or a partner of that long. So you don't get to experience it over and over again. So you just don't have experience to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's interesting you say that because I think that's just grief. And people, they expect you to grieve a certain way, and there is no certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that as well, I feel like.
There is no certain way. And to speak on what you just mentioned about your mom, you know, I think you surely did the best you could with what you had.
Right. As did she, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody does the best that they can, but this is, you know, this is part of being in a flawed world. We are we can't make it perfect for everyone. We cannot grieve the right way for someone else, and especially because we're not typically equipped with the communication tools to be able to even say, for your mom to even be able to say, like, hey, this is what I need, or for you to be
I'm
able to
struggling.
Say, this is what I need.
Please do this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find a support system. And you said you guys went to some grief groups. What other support systems did you have, and what did you find helpful during that time?
For me, I'm laughing because I was such a brat about it.
Mm-hmm.
I did not want to talk to anyone who had not experienced exactly what I had experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And that pool is very small.
Yes, yeah.
You know, we live in a big community and, you know, thank God for the internet, but the community of child loss is very, very small.
Mm-hmm.
To try and find a counselor, a good counselor, a local counselor, because, you know, Zoom counseling was not a thing yet.
Yeah.
To find someone local who had experienced what I had experienced and then decided to get a psychology degree and then set up a practice.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
That it was highly unlikely. And so I really shied away from, you know, a lot of the general support groups. We went to one as a couple. It did not go well. Mm-hmm. We did not go back. I did go to a very well-known organization. I went to one meeting and it scared me. It scared me because there were, I had just caught this poor woman on a bad day. But she was 22 years removed from her loss and she was so devastated so stuck and so in just such a dark place. I left that meeting and it was one of those pivotal moments, one of those moments in your life that you'll never forget. I left that meeting and thought, I don't care what I have to do. That will never be me. I love her. And I pray for that woman every day. That moment in time was just a dark moment that she was able to move through, because those moments are real. I still hit those moments, and somebody could hit me on a bad day sometimes. And that may be their experience of, what a grief support group is like. Yeah. And so, I don't fault her at all, but it was just such a wake up call that, I can't depend on my husband to do this work for me. I can't depend on a group to do this work for me. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to find the perfect counselor. There is no perfect counselor. You will find incredible counselors, and that mm-hmm. is exactly what we need. But there is no perfect counselor because we're all flawed humans. Yeah. But no one is going to do this work but me. And mm-hmm. so if I want to find a way to pick up these pieces and move forward at the bare minimum, and beyond that, if I want to actually do something wonderful with my life to honor my son in a way that makes me feel proud, that I hope makes him feel proud, it's up to me to do the work. Mm-hmm. And so I had to learn not to shut people out. I had to learn not to take it personally when people said things with such good intentions, but just botched the delivery. We all try to be so supportive and we all mess it up because we don't know what to do. We say things with best intentions and they come out all bananas. And so I just had to learn how to care for myself in that moment and hold space for people in that moment and let people love me. And I think that was one of the most profound things I learned in this experience, is that people do want to help and people mm-hmm. do want to care for you and hold space for you, but everybody does it a little differently. Yep. Sometimes it looks like a lasagna. Sometimes it looks like a stupid YouTube video that somebody sends you.
Yeah.
Sometimes it looks like, can I walk your dog? Sometimes it looks like, I don't even know what to say, but I love you and I will leave you alone until you're ready. That is what love looks like. And we have to be willing to accept that from people, to acknowledge that from people as a way to begin to heal.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't get bitter and angry.
Sure.
It's like love really, I know it sounds so cheesy, blah, but love love really does, it heals so much. It heals.
Right.
I think that's what I love about you though, Jessica, is that you kind of are in that present moment mm-hmm. with people and you're like, I'm going to love you anyways, And that's something that you mentioned in your book, was that there were deliveries of what people have said, mm-hmm. And then you put in there what you probably shouldn't say to somebody in grief mm-hmm. and loss, mm-hmm. but what you might say.
Yeah.
And it's better received because ultimately we can't fix anything.
No,
And
mm-mm. You can't fix it.
Even though we want to try to fix things with our words, it's just almost doing more harm than
good. Digs you a little hole sometimes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. But I love how you even in your book you were saying, people that would come and still say these things. It's not what you wanted to hear mm-hmm. at that moment in time, but you loved them anyways mm-hmm. because they were still intentionally coming and wanting to spend time with you and wanting to wrap their arms around you mm-hmm. and be there for you. Mm-hmm. So I love that about you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm learning everything.
Every day. Can you share a little bit about your book? So you were just talking about how you want the legacy to live on and how you can help people. So the book is one of the few ways. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. So right after LJ died, I read everything I could get my hands on because it was something I could control. Mm-hmm. I was not sleeping. I think people either sleep all the time or they don't sleep at all. Yeah. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw things I couldn't unsee. And mm-hmm. so it was true insomnia. And I read everything. I read nerdy science textbooks. I read medical books. I read psychologist books. I read warm and fuzzy faith books. Mm-hmm. I read, everything. I read everything I could get my hands on that would give me some kind of information and tool to help me fix this. Well, they are all lovely books, but they were not helpful. Mm-hmm. Nothing I read, like little snippets here and there, like little sound bites that I can carry with me. But there were, I cannot name for you one book that was like, this is the one, this is the one everybody's going to have. Because I didn't need some brain science thing about, you know, the serotonin and dopamine and how
that's not helpful.
No, like I know my brain is a chemical disaster right now. I know that. It's not a shock to me. Right. No, and I didn't need the warm, fuzzy faith book. Like, I will get there. But I'm not there right now. Like, I'm just mad right now. The warm and fuzzy is not serving me well right now. I needed a real story of a real person who has slogged through the mire and made it out on the other side.
Yes.
I needed to know that it was possible to come from this wreck that I was to some semblance of a life that was worth living. And I could not find that book.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't out there. And maybe it is. I couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm.
And so fast forward 10 years and truly, and on my birthday, my 35th birthday, my husband surprised me with this big, beautiful like staycation. We went to a real bougie resort in the area, and I was sitting in the pool with in my incredible bikini 30 pounds ago and a fruity umbrella drink in my hand, sobbing. I was sobbing my eyes out. In the pool, and people were walking by like, what did he say to her? Like, is he breaking up with her? What's the matter? So, I mean, sobbing my eyes out.
There's probably still people who tell stories to this day. This lady at this resort was just crying.
Poor girl. We wanted to help her. We didn't know. We didn't know what to do.
Read the book and you'll find out.
Exactly. And so what I had realized, this all had escalated to a point where I knew that was a book that I needed to write, but I was scared to write it. And like, who am I? What authority do I have? What credentials do I have? Who would read it? Who would buy it? I mean, what audacity to think that I'm going to put a book out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband, who's so matter of fact, looked at me and he's like, I don't know what you're crying for. Just write the book.
Yeah.
So he believed in you
and he saw the value in it. And sometimes we need to, I just listened to this podcast about borrowing confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Borrowing confidence from people who believe in us more than we believe in ourselves at certain times in our lives. And that's exactly what he was giving you. He was saying, take this, you can do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, once I was able to reframe it, that, you know, if it can help one person who was in the same situation I was, then it was worth it. And ultimately, if no one ever read it, that was a service to my son. It was an honor to put his story in print. It was healing in ways for me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And as it worked out, that birthday, that the crying in the pool birthday, was just ahead of LJ's 10th birthday.
Mm.
And so I decided to write the book. And it was drafted in less than a month and published in less than 3.
Wow.
And it was like a friend of mine who is now a pastor, he said, it feels like you just downloaded that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, it's the best description
I have. You pretty
much
did. It was all up here. And you've been working on it for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And you finally just put it out in writing.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's something special about that 10-year gap. Because in year one, you don't have much hindsight. I didn't have much hindsight. Mm-hmm. And I was still in the thick of that black hole of grief. I think even at year 5, there was not enough distance in the rearview mirror to be able to reflect and say, what have I learned?
Mm.
If I could go back and tell myself then what I know now, what would I tell her?
Mm-hmm.
What do I still not know now that I could tell 10 years ago, Jessica, you're still not going to understand this, so stop spinning. Stop spinning.
Mm.
You're never going to figure this out. Not because you're stupid, but because there are some things I truly believe Earthside we will never fully understand.
Right.
There are answers I will never get this side of heaven on why and how and what now and what is the purpose. I will never see it all.
Yeah.
But with a 10-year gap,
Yeah.
It was fun to be able, fun. Weird person here. It was a gift to be able to compile what I have learned mm-hmm. in 10 years of grief work and share my son's story mm-hmm. and weave those two things together. So the book itself.
You brought it, right?
So I brought it. It's little. Here, I'll hold it up here. It's called Joy Comes in the Morning.
Okay.
A true grief story of living in love and walking in light after losing a child. Mm. And so it is my son's story, his birth story and his death story, told and woven in between a very real telling of my account of the five stages of grief. Mm. And so...
And you talk about that in the book, that there was five stages, but there were some, you know, mm-hmm. bullet points after, you know, there's yeah. some of the in-betweens mm-hmm. in between those five stages that you had went through and you mm-hmm. really discussed about in depth. And I really, really love that.
Thank you.
Because that's, I think... You put into words that I think other people think, but they don't know how to convey it. They don't mm-hmm. know how to go through those emotions mm-hmm. and feel that, because they're like, well, why am I feeling this way? And the next stage is this, mm-hmm. you know, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And so I really love that, because in a particular situation that I had gone through, I felt those exact words mm-hmm. from your book. Mm. That was in that situation, and the in between moments, those mm-hmm. those small little in between moments, and that's why I think people really should get your book. Oh, I mean, because you're very raw and very real in it, and like we said earlier, like grief is not an easy thing. There's mm-hmm. nothing. There's no manual. I mean, even this, it's something. It's your word,
the guide,
yeah. the guide mm-hmm. of what you went through, but. I love how it was just very, very raw and real, and a culmination of other books for someone. This might be a great one to add to it. So
mm-hmm. thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Grief is definitely not linear, and I hope that is something I was able to convey in here, is that there, you know, you don't just lily pad from like, oh, I checked off. You know, denial. Yay, right. I'm never going to be there again.
Yeah, but on their like refrigerator, like, okay, yep, I'm here now.
Exactly. There's no tracking sheet. And that's, you know.
That would be me, though. I'm like, I have a checklist. I need to get through this mm-hmm. so I can get this out of my life. You know what I mean? Yeah. I can get past this. Yeah. That's like the way I think. And mm-hmm. so that's what
so
I loved about
this. So it was helpful to have it organized for you.
Because,
yeah.
Yes, but there were those steps. Little things that, I mean, even an
you
organized
tell, you
mind.
You made a difference already. In her, which was your goal.
I'm so glad.
Your goal was to honor your son and tell your story and help at least one person. Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm. It's Check. Already been
and I'm sure
one.
And
I know there's
going to
be plenty,
yeah.
plenty more. But
I know. I'm excited to read it, because I, you know, it's funny, because even grief from years ago, it doesn't go away.
Does
it? It just changes forms, maybe, or changes when it comes to you. So I'm looking forward to reading it. I read Absolutely. Your blogs, and I really enjoyed okay. that, too, and learning about your story. But it's been a journey for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any advice for people who may have lost, I mean, anyone, are experiencing grief? What have you learned throughout this whole process?
Whew,
that's a loaded question. Sorry.
So,
maybe
if
like
I could
top two, I don't know.
Yeah, if I could boil it down, you know, I think the biggest encouragement I could give is to give yourself grace.
Mm.
There, mm-hmm. there is... Nothing about the grieving process is, you can't anticipate anything other than the fact that it is going to be hard and it is going to be rocky and bumpy. It takes what it takes. And it like you just mentioned, you know, grief never really goes away. It just gets different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the waves that we experience early on that feel like tsunamis, like you just feel like you're getting pummeled over and over by a, you know, Category 5 hurricane that hits you every day. As time passes, that storm is not as strong, and it doesn't hit you as often.
Mm-hmm.
But it does not mean that your pain is any less, and it doesn't mean that you experience that grief in any less profound of a way. And you know, I'm going to botch this adage, but you know, without love there is no grief or something like that. You know, I carry my son with me every day. You carry your dad with you every day. Mm-hmm. You carry your father-in-law with you every day. I don't love my son less every day. I love him more. Mm-hmm. I love my son more every day. Mm-hmm. And so with that love that grows, there's that twingy grief that comes right along beside it. Mm. So, you know, when I put on my proverbial backpack every day, you know, when I put on my knapsack every day, my son's in my knapsack every day. Yeah. Mm. And there's a little twingy grief in there too. And I never know, you know, I never know when I'm rummaging around for a banana or whatever, you know, when something's going to poke at that little tender spot. Mm-hmm. So I just have to remind myself and anyone else who is going through, you know, a loss or a grief of any kind, because grief is grief is grief is grief is grief is grief. The subject matter may be different, but grief is grief and loss is loss. And so whatever you are navigating, just give yourself grace and patience. Fight mm-hmm. the urge to play the comparison game, like, well, so-and-so is doing so much better at this than I am, and the, you know, she's got her life all pulled together, you know, she must have it all figured out. Baloney.
Yeah.
Baloney. You know, we are all master, you know, we are all master actors sometimes, and it's so easy to put that mask on that, mm-hmm. you know, things are great and things are fine when we are just hurting on the inside. And so honor all the pieces of it, the good pieces, the ugly pieces, the pieces that scare you, that you don't know what to do with, and seek help. I cannot stress enough the importance of finding help and support that you need. Mm-hmm. Because when you find yourself in that really dark spot where you are asking yourself the question, do I want to keep going or do I not? The answer is yes, we need you here. Mm-hmm. But just like we have to borrow confidence from other people, mm-hmm. we have to borrow belief from other people too. 100%. We have to borrow belief from other people that there is more life that is coming. There is mm-hmm. more life that is coming. There is goodness that is coming. There is abundance that is coming. And when you are at the bottom of that black hole, you can't see it. But you have got to surround yourself with people, person, even if it's only one person, who can continue to love you back to life. Because those people are out there and they want to love you back to life.
Mm. Amen.
Yeah, that's so important to have those people in your lives. And I think you're right. I don't know if it's generational or what, but we just don't talk a lot about it. And mm-hmm. we're getting better at it. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important to have discussions like this and have the podcast so that people can see it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to cry. And if it hits you, you know, mm-hmm. 10 years, that's all okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we've been told that enough. Mm-hmm. So things like this, like your book and having these discussions, we're just so grateful to have you on and for you to share your experience.
Well, where can people find your book?
Okay.
Join Comes In the Morning.
Okay. So my book is available exclusively on my website, heartfullypresent.com. And I'm real like personal about it. It's not out there for the world on Amazon. I do inscribe every book. Hmm. That goes out. So every book that is ordered and shipped comes through my literal hands.
Wow.
And I pray over every single one of these books. And should you include a name, I will inscribe that on the inside. I just feel like that's really important. So you can find this book on my website. There's a little button at the top. It says buy my book. Mm-hmm. And the website again is heartfullypresent.com.
Heartfullypresent. And you do have a Facebook page of the same name. Is that correct?
I do. I have a Facebook page and I have an Instagram.
Okay.
At heartfullypresent. And, you know, you mentioned before about how, you know, it feels clunky to talk about this stuff sometimes. Mm-hmm. That account, that my Heartfully Present account, is such a cool little corner of the internet. It's, you know, our followers are quiet and they're lurky, but where I hear from everyone is in my DMs. Mm. And when I am, you know, when I get this feeling that I am sending all of this grief stuff, you know, and intentional living stuff out into the void, what I am reminded time and time and time again, over and over and over, is that these are the conversations we need to be having. Mm-hmm. But we aren't equipped with the language around them, and we aren't comfortable yet, you know, tossing them on a podcast or, you know, broadcasting them, you know, from the mountaintops, or, you know, admitting some of those, you know, some of that dark stuff that we're struggling with. You know, we don't want to take off that superhero cape. We don't want to take off the perfect mask, especially in this community.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether we're struggling with the loss of a, you know, a death of a person, whether we're struggling with a struggling marriage or the loss of a marriage or the loss of a job, we don't really want to talk about that. But that is what my Facebook account and my Instagram are. I think it's a good safe place for people to come and see, like, I am not the only one. I'm mm-hmm. not the only one struggling with
this. So important for to sure. connect.
And you're very intentional about not just it not being about grief, but mm-hmm. you have a lot of humor in there, sarcasm. she speaks pure sarcasm. She's very fluent in sarcasm. So I know you would love it. But you're very intentional on being just present with the kids that are right now still living. You have four. Mm-hmm. What are their ages?
So our son who passed is our oldest, so he would be 14 this October. My daughter is 13 and is adopted. That's a whole cool story you can read about in the book or on my website. And then our son is 12, and then we have a big gap because a whole lot of life happened. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole different podcast. And then we have an almost 5-year-old and an almost 2-year-old. They both turn 5 and 2 mm. in October. So yes. It's so we've got a little bit of everything. It's mayhem all the time. Yeah. I'm expecting to look like a bomb went off by the time I get home. And that's fine.
That's actually something Stephanie mentioned, that you just live so much in the moment and you're so present on the things that really matter.
Yes.
And I love that. That's something I think we can all learn mm-hmm. for sure. But we are so grateful that you were able to come on today. So thank you so much. And again, the book is Joy Comes in the Morning, and you can buy it directly from Jessica's website at heartfullypresent.com. And make sure to follow her on mm-hmm. Instagram and Facebook as well. So thank you so much for having me. Thank you, ladies.
It's a joy to be here.
And thanks for joining us today on Women to the Wise. And we will see you next time.